fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Muckbill Yarborough for hosting the past four shows. I enjoyed Muckbill's chat on Tuesday with VOA colleague Mike Hove, who gave us some UEFA Champions League football insights. For those keeping scores by their radios, Mike and Muckbill and a few more of my VOA friends are ardent supporters of specific Premier League clubs. Mike cheers for the Red Devils of Manchester United, while Muckbill supports the Gunners of Arsenal. Both teams are in action later Wednesday night. Man U is in Istanbul for a Group A Champions League match against the Turkish club Galatasaray. As Mike mentioned Tuesday, it's been a disappointing Champions League campaign for the Red Devils. They have 3 points from four matches and will not be advancing. Muckbill's Gunners are in much better position as they head into Wednesday night's match against the French side Lens in London. Arsenal leads Group B with 9 points from four matches. Lens has 5 points. In UEFA Champions League action Tuesday, defending champion Manchester City rallied for a 3-2 victory over visiting Leipzig. Man City trailed at halftime 2-0, but Phil Foden inspired the comeback by scoring one goal and creating the two others. Man City and Leipzig had already qualified for the round of 16 in the Champions League. In the other Group G match, the Swiss club Young Boys beat Red Star Belgrade 2-0 in Bern to clinch a spot in the second-tier Europa League's knockout round playoffs. My eldest son, Jesse Dylan Young, says he's a fan of the Swiss club Young Boys just because of their name, the Young Boys, supported by Jesse Dylan Young. In Group H, Barcelona beat visiting Porto 2-1. The Portuguese duo of João Felix and João Cancelo each scored a goal as Barcelona clinched first place in the group. Also in the group, Mykola Matviyenko's diving header kept Shakhtar Donetsk in the hunt for a place in the knockout stage with a 1-0 win over Antwerp in Hamburg, Germany. In Group E, two own goals plus a brilliant hooked volley by Mario Hermoso gave Atletico Madrid a 3-1 victory at Feyenoord and a place in the round of 16. Feyenoord was eliminated. Atletico's win also clinched advancement for Lazio, which beat Celtic 2-0 on two late goals from substitute Ciro Immobile. Finally, in Group F, Borussia Dortmund advanced to the round of 16 with a 3-1 win at AC Milan, whose hopes of progressing diminished. Dortmund moved atop the group, 3 points ahead of Paris Saint-Germain. Kylian Mbappe's second-half stoppage-time penalty rescued a 1-1 draw for PSG with Newcastle in Paris.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairu, chief football writer at acsports.com, and you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
A new documentary film, We Dare to Dream, focuses on athletes from the 2020 Refugee Olympic team. Oscar-nominated director Wad Al-Khateeb says she made the film to inspire hope.
I am here today with like a heavy heart, but so much hope as well, because I think I survived for a reason, and this reason is to tell more stories. And I'm so proud that I was able, you know, to do this film in this way with these amazing athletes, to bring more hope and more strength to the world, but also to call out for refugees from all over the world to look at this film and see themselves in these pictures and in these stories. And I really hope we can all play our part and our responsibility toward other people.
We Dare to Dream follows refugee athletes from South Sudan, Cameroon, Iran, and Syria as they prepare for the Tokyo Olympics. Cyril Thatchett II is a Cameroon-born refugee. Cyril has set records as a weightlifter in the 85-kilogram category, and he was at the premier showing in London.
Sport saved me. When I was seeking asylum in the UK, I believe weightlifting played a very big part in keeping me sane and keeping me in a good mindset, because seeking asylum is a very difficult process. There's a fear of the unknown, always fear of being returned back to the country. I think weightlifting helped me engage with other athletes. It helped me feel, as part of the society, and it helped lift my mood. So sport played a great part in keeping me mentally sane.
We Dare to Dream is supported by Hollywood star Angelina Jolie and musician John Legend. Angelina Jolie is one of the film's executive producers, and John Legend performs the film's original song titled Don't Need to Sleep. Meanwhile, another Angelina Lohalith, is a two-time refugee Olympic team member originally from South Sudan. In this exclusive Sunny Side of Sports interview from 2022 with Prince Nesta, Angelina talked about her inspirational journey.
I come from South Sudan, but I stay in Kenya. I have been in Kenya most of my life. I think I grew up there as a refugee in Kakuma refugee camp, which is in Kenya. And I left South Sudan in 2002. Yeah, 2002 December. That was the time I left South Sudan. Until this moment, I have never been there.
Where were you born in South Sudan?
I was born 1st of January in 1995. I was born in a place called Horobidhi, a near town, Chugudum, inside of Eastern Equatoria.
Our listeners would like to know your story, because in order for us to tell them where you are today and what you do today, it's important to understand the past also. So how did you end up in, Kenya from South Sudan?
As I said, I left South Sudan in 2002. We had a conflict between inter-community, and whereby the war broke out. I could not even remember clearly, because that time I was very young, at the age of maybe, I can't recall it very well, maybe, let's say 7 to 8 years old. That was in 1999 when the war broke out. And since, like, from 1999 to 2002, things were not that well. And there were so many insecurity places. So in 2001, that was when I have one of my aunt, who was a close relative to me. She came and rescued most of the young boys and girls to come to Kakuma, at least maybe to get a safe place and to get chance to go to school in Kakuma refugee camp. And I managed to be one of them, to join the group, and leaving my parents behind and all my siblings. Because I knew that maybe after that moment, maybe they might follow me behind. But I didn't know that I will stay like almost 18 years. I haven't able to meet them until in 2019. That was the time I could able to meet with my parent after all that period of time.
Wow, that's a powerful story. And how are your parents doing?
Right now they're doing great. After the moment I met with them, and meet with them live, for me it was like a miracle, because I have been still like most of the years, I have been growing up alone without seeing them. But the moment I met with them, I could not even explain my feelings.
And right now you're currently living in Kenya. You are here for the World Athletics Championships. What's the difference like, here in the United States and Kenya?
If I compare here and Kenya, it is almost the same, because the weather. It is almost the same. hot, just like in Kenya. Though at the moment in Kenya it is winter time, but some part of the Kenya it is very hot. And I enjoy the environment.
Mm.
Yeah.
You enjoy the environment.
Yeah.
How did you end up running as an athlete?
You know, maybe let me say it is a long story. First of all, I can say maybe I started running when I was still very young. I have been running away from the punishment of my mom. Because, for example, when my mom sent me somewhere or maybe sent me to pick something, every time I would just start running to get it and bring it back to her before the time reached. So I don't like punishment. So from that time, I used to run. When she sent me, I would always go very fast and come back early. Until now, when the war broke out, I ran from safety, from protection to the camp. So that means that there are so many reasons for me to run. I run for the safety, and now I run for the competition. Because first, I didn't know more about the running. I remember very well when I was in primary school, most of the time the teachers will come and ask who want to represent the school. Because, you know, in primary school, we don't used to have time for training. But most of the time they have like term one, term two, and term three. And in term one, they used to have a competition for athletic. So what they always do in our school, what they always do when it reached that time, let's say, for example, 1 week to the games, they'll come and say, do the training tomorrow. We are going to have a trial today. Whoever win will go and represent the school. So I always find myself to join the group and do the selection. So that is what I realized that I love. Anytime there is a selection, I will just join and represent my school. So when I was doing like this, so I used to go from, you know, after being selected, you will stand from maybe provision, from district, subdivision, and then you reach to the district and division, then national. So this process, I always find myself that I was going through until I reached the provision. You know, now when you reach to the provision, you are selected for the national. Whereby when you reach the national, you will now find those people, they have been in the training camps. So for me, it was so hard to proceed to a national. So that is what I have been doing, like several times until I was done with my primary certificate. So the moment I joined high school, I love sports so much, because even when I was in primary, I could not even if there is football, I will just go and play football. If there is volleyball, I will join. So I don't like to be so idle.
Yeah, and so you're multi-talented.
I always like to do something so that if the day end, I have to know why did it end. Mm. Was it for some reason? What was I doing before the day end? So even if there is a music festival, I will join. Even if I don't have a good
voice.
Yeah, good voice to sing, but I will struggle to, as long as I can pronounce some of the words.
What are some of your favorite musicians that you listen to?
Maybe let me say, I don't have the specific musician, but I always just listen to any song. If it have a good message, then I just love it.
Oh, fantastic.
But mostly, let me say, I love reggae, gospel song, bongo, R&B. So almost general music.
You specialize in the 1500 meters. Why 1500 meters?
You know, the time when we were given the trial in Kakuma Refugee Camp for the first time by Tekla Lorupe, working together with UNHCR and LWF to select the team which was brought to Nairobi, Kenya for a training. I didn't know more about running, but the time in 2015 when we joined the camp, so we were just given a random training. We couldn't know if you are good in 815, but thank God enough we had a coach. We were brought the coach, then the coach will come and give us the trial after some training and tell us this is what you can do better in this distance, 815. And that is what he told me, that you have to train for 15, maybe you might do it better.
Mm.
Yeah, but I feel like I can go for more, not just only in 15. As long as you are a runner, you know you can go for any, especially when you are middle distance, you can even proceed to the long distance.
Incredible. And so as time goes, do you think possibly you're looking to transition from possibly 1,500 meters to other long distance or middle distance run?
In fact, I have already been competing road race, like in 10 kilometer, though I have not put a lot of effort on training for the 10 kilometer because I was still told to focus on the 1500 because sometimes it is hard to mix a road race and field event. But to me, I have that desire, I have that call that I can do very well in long distance. And that is also my plan. If I go back from next year, I'll be trying to mix to get endurance in 5,000 or maybe 10,000. Then also I come to 15 because I felt they can share both the speed endurance and endurance.
Oh, fantastic. There's an athlete listening to us right now and they'd just like to be like you and they'd like to also know how you met, the refugee team.
Okay, in 2015, first of all in 2014, Tekela came and organized and informed the staff of UNHCR and LWF that she would love to see people running. So if you don't mind, organize the race so that people they can come and run, and they pass the message in the community that whoever feel like to run, you can come, whether you can represent Congo, Ethiopia, South Sudan, any country, or maybe Uganda, just come all then. I remember in 2014, one of my friends came and told me that, oh, have you heard that there is a trial? And then I told her, I have no idea. And she told me like, oh, you should be having a place to represent. Though South Sudan, the list is already full, so you have to look for another chance. Since I have that feeling of competing, so one of my friends told me, you can come and represent Uganda, because she knew me in school. Some time back, we had one competition in school, whereby I was representing a school in high school. So during that time, we had the trial, and I managed to be the top two. In top three. Because number one and number two, the two Kenyans lady took, and I became number three. For that time, I realized, I told myself, oh, if I'm the first, which means if I'm number three, in the refugee camp, which means I was number one in general. The two Kenyans, number one and number two. From that time, I started to appreciate myself that I can do well in running, though it's not something that I could know. Maybe running is part of the competition. That is something I never knew. In 2015, when now Tekela came and organized a race that she will need a team to take to Nairobi for a training, I decided to join. Though by that time I was very busy because I was concentrated with my neck examination, which is Kenya National Examination for Form 4. So after I joined the trial, I managed to be number one in 15 kilometers. So now we are told you will be joining Nairobi camp, the rest of the people who are selected there, so that you can see how far you will go.
She's gone a long way from Kakuma Refugee Camp in Kenya. That's Angelina Lahalith, a two-time Refugee Olympic team member. And Angelina's interview with Prince Nesta was originally broadcast on the Sunny Side of Sports in July 2022 during the World Athletics Championships in the northwest U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. Ugandan athlete Joshua Cheptegei won a gold medal at 10,000 meters at last year's World Championships in Eugene. Joshua is also the reigning Olympic champion at 5,000 meters, and he holds the world records at both 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters. On Sunday, December 3rd, Joshua will make his marathon debut in Valencia, Spain. Speaking ahead of the race, Cheptegei says, and I quote, "The track has taught me to be patient when chasing my goals. I will approach the marathon in the same regards. If you are not patient in the marathon, it means you will not be able to reach your destination and goals. What is important for me," says Joshua, "is to just enjoy the race and see what happens after 35 kilometers. We'll see what happens when Joshua Cheptegei makes his marathon debut on Sunday in Valencia, Spain. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Turning to tennis, it was a great year for Serbian star Novak Djokovic, who ends 2023 as the world's number one ranked men's player. Djokovic won 3 major titles, the Australian Open, the French Open, and the U.S. Open. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's go back to June, when Djokovic lifted the French Open trophy in Paris. And listen to my report. The Serbian star won his record 23rd Grand Slam singles title at the French Open in Paris. In the process, he broke a tie with Rafael Nadal, who has 22 major championships, and who looks like he'll be sidelined the rest of the year after hip muscle surgery. Let's listen in now to some of Djokovic's post-match comments in Paris, beginning with this question from a tennis journalist.
Novak, congratulations. How does it feel to be the greatest male player in history?
Well, thank you. I mean, I don't want to say that I am the greatest because I feel it's a... I've said it before, it's disrespectful towards all the great champions in different eras of our sport that was played in a completely different way than it is played today. So I feel like each great champion of his own generation has left a huge mark, a legacy, and paved the way for us to be able to play this sport in such a great stage worldwide. So... I leave those kind of discussions of who is the greatest to someone else.
Novak Djokovic also paid tribute to Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer, who retired last year with 20 Grand Slam singles titles.
The truth is that I've always, compared myself to these guys because those are the two greatest rivals I ever had in my career. And I've said it before, many times, that they have actually defined me as a player. And all the success that I have, you know, they've contributed to it in a way, you know, because of the rivalries and the matchups that we had, and countless hours of thinking and analyzing and what it takes to win against them on the biggest stage, you know, for me and my team. It was just those two guys were occupying my mind for the last 15 years quite a lot, and in a professional sense. And so, of course, it's amazing to know that I'm one ahead of both of them in Grand Slams with Rafa. But at the same time, everyone writes their own history. So, you know, I still think that everyone has a unique journey that they should embrace and stick to. But of course, having the three of us with Andy, of course, as well, that we cannot forget. In the last 20 years, it's kind of reached the golden era of the men's tennis, and as people like to call it. So I'm really grateful to be part of this group of guys.
And where does this 2023 French Open trophy rank in the great career of 36-year-old Novak Djokovic?
One of the biggest ones, of course. I knew that going into the tournament, and I mean going into the match, especially today, that there's history on the line. But I try to, you know, focus my attention and my thoughts into preparing for this match in the best way possible to win like any other match. Of course, I would lie if I say that I didn't think about, you know, the finish line that is right there, and then one more match is needed to win a trophy, a historic one, of course. But my team has created a good bubble around me, so we've I think a great job into just staying in the present moment and performing as good as we wanted to. And of course, when I saw his forehand going wide, I felt a huge relief, and I was overwhelmed with wonderful emotions. And I'm very, very happy and very proud of it.
Meanwhile, the man Novak Djokovic defeated in the French Open final, the Norwegian Casper Ruud, comments on all the records held by Djokovic.
Like I said on court, you know, he holds all the records and these stats that are just ridiculous. So just shows how complete of a player he is. He can win on any surface, anywhere, any balls that we play with. It's he will be up for the challenge. And now it's probably the most significant record that he broke of 23 slams. It's on the male side, that's the record for now. But I'm sure he will aim for even more if I know him, you know, the right way, and he's not done yet, I think.
I agree, Casper. Novak Djokovic is not done yet. And that wraps up the November 29th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Sunny Side of Sports.